Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Orthodox Christology, Bible teaching regarding Jesus Christ. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Jesus, the God of Incarnation. A sign hanging at Scott Air Force Base in Belleville, Illinois, reads, "An untrained soldier is just a target." In spiritual warfare, Satan is looking for easy targets. Jesus Christ is the only and sufficient Savior for all who have ever lived. The truth must be affirmed. That truth must be affirmed. Why? Because of the enemy's attacks, his attacks by universalism, pluralism, relativism. All these beliefs question the finality of revelation and Christ's work on the cross. Our statements of theology and faith must be strong. Orthodox Christology is the clear teaching of the Bible regarding Jesus Christ. It is His person, full deity and perfect humanity. It is His work on the cross, personal sacrifice and blood atonement. What we think about Jesus affects our theology. God, the Bible, and salvation. The foundation of Orthodox Christology is built on four texts. Four great texts in the New Testament. Our text, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, about the Incarnation. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, on humiliation. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 23, regarding creation. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Revelation. Correct biblical beliefs about Jesus is within the context of these passages. In this study, we're going to consider each of these texts. This session's text is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. The Old Testament refers often to the Word of the Lord. And we know Jesus Christ as the living Word. The subject of John's Gospel is the Word. This text illustrates six declarations about Jesus as the Word. First, Jesus powerfully pre-existed. Look at verses 1 through 5 of John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." What is the Apostle telling us about Jesus the Word? Well, He's co-eternal with the Father. A distinct person with God. He's consubstantial with the Father. Of the same stuff was God. He's co-equal to the Father. The agent of creation made through Him. And then John reinforces the point in verse 2. "He was in the beginning with God." So Jesus' existence was before His incarnation? No, it was before all time. The world was from the beginning. The Word was in the beginning. John's not trying to prove the existence of God. That is assumed as in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Jesus is co-eternal with the Father, co-equal with the Father, consubstantial with the Father. He's qualified to save us and establish His church. This is a powerful pre-existence. He is God. Both life and light find their origin in Jesus Christ. Every creature received life from Him. And every man received light from Him. Wisdom. The author of our faith is also the God of the universe. Sadly, God's light shone in the darkness of man's conscience, but sin caused man to be unable to receive it. Jesus powerfully pre-existed. Second, Jesus was prophetically witnessed. Look at verses 6 to 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. John the Baptist was a man sent from God to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the main event, but the opening act. In fact, John himself said in John chapter 3, verse 30, John the Baptist is quoted as saying, "He must increase, but I must decrease." His sole purpose was to point others to Christ. So Jesus was prophetically witnessed. And third, Jesus was personally rejected. Look at verse 10 to 13. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Here is the heart of the message. Christ made the world. He entered the world he made, and yet was not recognized by his own creations. Some did receive the light and received eternal life, the right to become a member of the family. How? Simply by faith in his name. Born again, not of human blood, not of human effort, not even by human choice. Instead, a spiritual birth accomplished by God's will. Jesus was personally rejected. Fourth, Jesus was permanently incarnated. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God chose the perfect way to reveal himself to man. Full deity and perfect humanity. Of course, the incarnation produced many heresies in man's limited understanding. I mean, so many. Some believe that he received the Spirit after baptism. He was not pre-existent. But John chapter 20 and verse 28, Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Other heresies, he appeared human, but was only divine. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." Or another was that he was the first and highest creation. That he wasn't God. He wasn't eternal. But Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "Who," referring to Jesus, "being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." It wasn't wrong for him to claim that he was God. And then another group. the divine logos replaced the human mind. That when he came into the man, the eternal word took over the man. But John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." And then there's others that believe that two persons were there with the divine controlling the human. That the human was subservient to the divine. But Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I live. I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death.'" And then there are some that just believe that the divine consumed the human, making essentially a third nature. But Philippians 2:6 again made it clear. "Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." What's the truth? Scripture abundantly demonstrated two natures. He became one of us. He dwelt among us, and he showed his glory to us, grace and truth. Okay, but was the incarnation temporary while Jesus lived here? No. The Bible shows it was permanent. He was bodily born. He bodily lived. He bodily died. He bodily resurrected. And he bodily ascended back to heaven. Jesus had a divine nature and a human nature. And he functioned through either one at any time by his own will. I don't understand it, but Scripture demonstrates it. So Jesus was permanently incarnated. Fifth, Jesus was properly exalted. Verses 15 to 17. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.'" How did John the Baptist witness of Christ? In boldness. He cried out, and in truth, with proper presentation. He came later, yet he's greater. Why? He's of eternity. Jesus is God. Grace superseded the law. Moses represents the law, which could not save from sin, only expose it. Jesus represents grace, by which God, in his mercy, provided salvation. How were the Old Testament saints saved? All those who died before Jesus Christ's crucifixion? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 11 for the answer to that. In verses 39 and 40. "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. The Old Testament saints, in faith, believed God's promise of a Messiah, foreseen since Genesis 3:15, when He gave it in the garden after the fall of Adam. The New Testament saints, the church, placed their faith in that promise fulfilled on Calvary's cross by Jesus' crucifixion. Salvation from God's wrath and the penalty of hell is only by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus was properly exalted. And then sixth and finally, Jesus was perfectly communicated. Look at verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. No one has seen God at any time. We can see or approach the Father only by the Son. What's the relevance? Why do I need to know this? Correct thinking about Jesus is very relevant. For the believer to withstand the enemy's attacks, for the lost to come to saving knowledge of Christ, He is full deity. He became perfect humanity. He gives eternal life in response to faith in Him. You think about that as we begin this study, and you have a great day.